Krishna. With hopes of Krishna, he's asking about how to respond to people who accuse the Puranas of being mythology. What's our line of defense? Well, to start with, it's a good general principle to be aware of. If someone accuses someone, something, of something, then the onus is on them to provide the evidence. Would someone can't just come up to me and say, well, can you prove that there's not a eight-headed bear with three legs and five tails wandering around in the woods of Siberia? It's not my business to prove that there isn't one. If you're so adamant that such a creature exists, you go find him and prove it. Accusations require also, or allegations require evidence. Otherwise, anyone can say anything, and it becomes a redundant argument. So why is it that people would accuse Puranic literature or Mahabharata of being mythology? Well, because it contains information that people of today don't have access to, like vimanas, like human beings living in prehistoric times, civilized human beings, like talking monkeys, like interplanetary travel, time scales that go on into millions of years, and so many other fantastic things. So in short, when you want to boil that down, it says that if something I don't understand at the present moment, or that doesn't conform to our scientific or experiential understanding today, is being spoken about, then it must not be real, it must be mythology. But that's not how progress worked in the past. 150 years ago, there was no such thing as airplanes, so the vimanas spoken about in Vedic literature may have sounded like mythology, but it's not mythology anymore, because we're also flying around in airplanes. And whereas, for instance, 75 years ago or so, anthropologists would say that modern man, and they did say, began 40,000 years ago. But since there have been a lot of finds like Lucy and so on, which dates modern man back to millions of years ago. In other words, science has changed. Your understanding has changed. So, going along those same lines, why not accept the possibility, that yes, people have access to a different fund of knowledge, and that what is being recorded in the Puranas is not fantasy, it's not mythology, but it's actually fact. Well, how did those people get that type of knowledge when we're only just coming to it bit by bit? Well, because they took a different approach. Their approach is the approach of development of consciousness rather than the development of empiric knowledge. By development of consciousness, their ability to perceive, to relate, and then to enter into different realms and to do different things works a lot faster than the process that we use today. Such as, for instance, it took up until the Second World War for scientists to build a nuclear bomb. But nuclear weapons are well known, again, as part of Puranic history, but they're invoked by mantra. They're invoked by sound vibration, and people were able to achieve that, although today we don't necessarily have access to that, or we don't have the qualification to be able to produce that type of fine, subtle sound vibration. So don't be narrow-minded, considering all the leaps and bounds that science has made, especially over the last century. Then we should be open that in due course of time we're going to be able to come to grips with the realities that Purana also presents. So that's a brief version of an answer to give to empiricists. Of course, Jiva Goswami begins in his Tattva Sandarbha by establishing the relevance of Puranas, but he goes about that to those who accept the Vedic worldview. In other words, they accept the Vedas, and of course most people don't accept that. In fact, very few people do. So we have to use a little common sense. Hare Krishna. Excuse me, that wasn't a Toksija Krishna who asked that, but Ram Sharanandas. Hare Krishna.